of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Man Up with Carl Bott, Ted Leidy, and Perry Crimmins.
Ooh,
yeah. Hey, this is a pre-recorded show because we are all going to be at the Jake Turkey Banquet that's happening at the same time as Man Up is. So we thought we'd just come in early and record this.
We'll be at the Cottonwood Community Center.
That's right.
Thursday, doing our Jake's, our National Wild Turkey Federation.
Yep.
Karen Stout Memorial Youth Turkey Hunt for Jake's,
and
for our youth hunters.
Thanks, Sue, for recording the show tonight.
Thank you, Sue.
Today. I know you got other things to do.
No worries.
Yeah. And okay. For sure, we're thinking of you because we can't miss our testosterone bump, and you can't either.
Got to have Man Up. Okay, let's start off with the hunting part. And I've kind of talked about it a little bit on our show, but let's talk about it on Man Up. Is tell people about the Jake, the National Wild Turkey Federation's Jake program.
The National Wild Turkey Federation, of course, is a very large fundraising organization that helps save our turkeys here in Northern California and throughout the country.
Conservation.
We raise money for habitat development, setting aside habitat for turkeys. And, of course, that leads to our Jake's program. Jake's stands for Juniors Acquiring Knowledge, Ethics, and Sportsmanship. So we take every spring turkey season, we take, it depends on how many hunt leaders we have and how many ranches we have, but between 20 and 25 youth between 12 and 15 years old that have never harvested a wild turkey. And Carl, you and I and Perry and everybody, we take them to the woods with us over the junior weekend, which was happened to be last weekend, March 18th and 19th. And we teach them the ins and outs of hunting wild turkeys, which is, a lifelong calling for many people, including, all three of us. It's been something that we've enjoyed doing, and so we want to pass it on to them, and they totally dig it.
Well, we have a day devoted to, we bring all the young people out, boys and girls, and out at the Redding Gun Club, and where they get to shoot some trap to get used to, shooting at moving targets. We pattern their shotguns, to make sure that they know where to aim. We have classes on blinds and blind etiquette. We have classes on turkey biology and calling out there. And that, so part of the Jake program is, on Thursday, the kids are going to get there early at 4:30, and we have a turkey calling contest.
Yeah.
And the winner gets a real nice prize.
Yep. A really nice prize for that.
Yep.
So what'll happen is this year we have 21 hunters and they'll show up at 4:30. We'll have five judges and they will call, they'll call for the judges, and then the top five will call during dinner at the banquet on stage.
On stage.
And then, of course, one of them will be crowned the turkey calling champion for Northern California, as we are the only turkey calling contest up here. So, it's not hard to do,
But we can say anything we want.
We can make it up as we go, which is the best part about, and it's the best part about being a man too, is we make stuff up really quick.
We do, and we never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
No, we do not.
But in this case, last year, what was that? She's about as big as a drop of water.
Yeah.
Won the turkey calling last night.
Nahara Chandler. 12 years old.
And she's about 5 foot nothing. And, but what a sweetheart of a girl.
Yeah, she did a good job.
Oh, she
won a Henry rifle, 243 mm-hmm. single shot. Beautiful rifle.
Beautiful.
And I think we're going to do that again this year for our turkey calling contest winner. So
great.
One thing too is I think this was our 12th year or 13th year. I've been there since year one.
Yeah.
We renamed it the Karen Stout Memorial Youth Turkey Hunt this year because we lost one of our biggest beneficiaries, close friend of the family, Carl, very close friend of yours, Perry, very close friend of yours, Karen Stout passed in December. And so went to the board and rallied, and we got the name changed to the Turkey Hunt, to the Karen Stout Memorial Youth Turkey Hunt. So we've re-logoed it, and we've got a bunch of new hats coming, and for the banquet, a bunch of logo items, and it's just
the Stout family has supported the Jake's from almost the first year, I think. But let me add one more thing to this: is Ted Leidy is the driving force behind this, and Ted was recognized by the National Wild Turkey Federation a couple years ago as being the with an award for this, a national level award. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to Nashville and they paid my way.
Ooh. So
we got to hang out at the Grand Ole Opry at no charge. Got to go to the convention.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to Nashville, that's a big deal to have your way paid.
Oh yeah, huge. Yeah, Nashville's getting expensive.
Only thing
was, I wish I, you know, back in those days, I didn't moderate as well as I do now. You know, I've grown a few years, and so. Well, I was a little bit hungover when I had to get that award, because they gave it to me like at 6:30 in the morning, and I was like, yeah, because you know, they drink all the free wild turkey you want at the Wild Turkey Convention. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So, the picture is not good. Don't go online and look up National Wild Turkey Federation Youth Volunteer of the Year award nationally, because it's not good.
I remember you telling me, he goes, oh, what did they expect?
Yeah, true. Very true. Hey, I'd like to propose a first toast of the morning with this good bottle of Blanton's that Parrish brought. And I'd like to toast Karen Stout this morning.
Karen Stout.
A great American, a loving mother, wife, and good friend.
Karen Stout.
That's good. People are like, they're pre-recording this at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning and drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
That is true. Carl, I thank you for asking me, though, if this was a good idea.
Well, I think, you know, I just wanted to ask because I can sit here afterwards for an hour, drink coffee. But the, you know, the thing about it is with the Jakes is it was a tough day. It was a tough day, you know, with all the weather that we've been having. And I mean, on the spot I was hunting, I've seen 30 turkeys wandering through there. And this is a relatively small area. Unlike, you know, like 100 acres, it's nothing close to that. It's just like 5 acres.
Yeah.
And, but the turkeys are in there. It's in the wild back there and nothing, but it was just a bad day for everybody. And probably because of the weather. Had, you know, it's been cold and rainy and snowy, and it's going to take some sunshine, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, you two are the experts.
It's going to have to get warm, probably.
Yeah. Well, bless the weather. I mean, look at Chasta Lake is at 40 feet.
Come on.
I mean, we'll take everything we can get.
I'm happy about it.
That's true.
I don't have a problem with it.
But no, wildlife is critical on, I mean, they're out there every day. You know, and they got to huddle up. They haven't done their breeding thing, you know, and like Ted said, it has to do with light, you know, more than the weather and the heat. But believe it or not, the sun's got to be out, you know.
Well, the thing about it is they, you know, all wildlife is so weather dependent, right? We have shelter built into our lives and warmth and food and all the other stuff built in. So it doesn't, the weather, yeah, we like to watch it and it does affect us somewhat. But when an animal feels that chilly wind that's in front of a front and that barometric pressure starts to drop and he can feel it on his eardrum, you know, and it tells him there's a storm coming, they are not interested in breeding. They're not interested in doing anything except eating because they don't know how long the storm is going to last. The storm could be 2 weeks. They may not be able to get out and eat for a couple weeks. So they put their head down and they fill up that stomach as much as they can and they look for a place to huddle up and wait out this thing. And so therefore, when the storm is coming in, it's the worst hunting. Or when the storm is sitting, worst hunting. But, I mean, the hunting just isn't good. But if the storm is going out and that sun starts to come out and they realize that they can get out and walk around and dry off, they get out and they do their thing. So
well, when we
goes
just,
both ways.
Yeah, it does. And you and I and Ted are hunted in the snow before, which was a remarkable day.
Oh,
as we all set out in the
not
snow.
Lake Almador, not just any snow, Lake Almador.
Lake Almador snow. As we just sat there in the snow, and the closest thing we got to a turkey is when I picked up the deke and was carrying it around.
Yeah, and I did take a picture of that.
And we do. I have a picture of me in the snow.
It looks good, man.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah, you're hard. You're sexy.
Yeah. And on that note, we will take a break here. This is Man Up with Perry Cronin, Ted Leidy, and Carl Bott. And when we come back, we got some new things to talk about.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 37 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Redding both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Redding Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Yeah, I like that. I like Sue's bump music.
Hey,
Sue,
you're great going for it. Hey, welcome back to Man Up with Ted Leidy, Perry Crimmins, and Carl Bott. And
that is a Man Up song.
This is a pre-recorded show, so if you want to call in on Thursday night between 6 and 7, we're not going to be there. We're going to be at the Jake National Wild Turkey Foundation banquet that we put on every year after the Jake Hunt.
National Wild Turkey Federation.
What did I say? Foundation.
Foundation.
I meant
you
Federation.
Do a lot of foundation work, so
yeah,
I
way,
know.
Way too much. No.
It's easily confused.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, we just call it the NWTF.
Yep. And you know what? When people see that, they see NWTF. And they go, what does that stand for? And I tell them, National What the, and they go, there's a foundation.
There is a foundation.
For that.
Yeah.
Okay. Perry. You've got Just for Hunting, which is a very successful guide business here up in the North State and all over the world, really, because you will take people in a lot of different places.
Or send them, yeah.
Or send them.
Yeah.
To, people that you trust and all this. What's the hunting like this year? I mean, with all the rain and everything, does it look like it could be like when it stops in a couple of weeks? Maybe.
So we had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday were decent days, right? So I had a couple of buddies. I had a birthday Friday, so they came down. One of my buddies had a birthday a year ago. He wanted to come down and go pig hunting, so we just kind of pushed it off. But he finally made it, so we went pig hunting on Friday, which was my birthday, and this was his birthday hunt. And believe it or not, we jumped in the buggy for about 3 minutes, come around the corner, there's some pigs, we shot one. Got that pig taken care of, went back to the buggy, turned around, looked across the hill. There's one laying on the side of the hill. We went and shot that pig. We were done by 9:20 and got them all skinned out and taken care of, back to Red Bluff for lunch. So the pig hunting was good during that little stretch of weather. You know, everywhere we went, we saw pigs. So with the weather, this is perfect weather for pigs.
Yep.
You know, just loosens everything up for them. Perfect weather for everything. Because once the sun comes out, and you can see in the valley grass, it's already growing tall green.
Yeah.
So the wildlife is going to be just phenomenal. And I mean, I've been on some trips to Utah and Oregon, and everywhere you go, there's snow.
You know,
there's snow in the mountains. Now it's melting off. We had that hot, warm rain. So what's going to happen is that the food is going to be phenomenal. So with that food, hunting, you know, everything gets out and feeds. They're healthy. Antler growth is good. Size is good. But hey, it's when that weather's in, it's no fun to be out there.
You know? No, it's not.
And it's no fun for the animals either. But, we're kind of talking about turkeys. The turkeys are the trouble right now because they're still in their winter flocks. Toms on one side, hens on the other side. But they're going to breed. That's just what they do. It's going to happen. But as you know, with this weather, there's a lot of properties we go to that you have to cross a creek. And you're not going to cross that creek for a while. definitely. Definitely, you gotta be careful out there with all this water. But, you know, the wildlife hunting, is gonna be good. It is good.
Start a little bit late. You know, I don't know about this weekend. I don't think the weather's gonna be good this weekend either.
No, it's supposed to be raining, maybe a chance for snow Friday.
It might just start a little bit later, but it will get good between this weekend and the end of April. The season ends on April 30th, so there will be some good times and some good weather in there. It's just a matter, Mike, you might stay home in the opener, which frankly, sometimes isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, the woods are full of yahoos and yeah.
I remember, when we'd go out on the opening of pheasant season with my dad up in Washington State, and we called them Seattle hunters.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They come out with brand new gear and new shotguns, and they don't even have plugs in them.
By the way, is illegal in California.
Which is probably illegal back then, too, up in Washington State.
Oh, yeah.
But you get a lot of people out there. And the night before, because we hunted this big, big ranch, and the night before, everybody would show up, and people were just getting plowed. And my dad was saying, I want you to take a look. And we're hunting tomorrow. We got one of the Seattle hunters with us. He's a business associate. I want you on the other end of the line from him. And I went, okay. So,
sure. That's the thing. That's the thing is, I do remember the 60s and 70s, 80s, where drinking was a big part of hunting. Like the first thing we did was get hammered. And then we'd go hunt. Now, I never really subscribed to that because I like to feel good when I hunt.
Yeah.
Right? So I was never really
into
that.
We're talking about the night before, not that morning.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Oh. Sorry. I thought I was talking about that morning. No. Even the night before, I don't want to feel hungover the next day. So, but I do remember those days very well where everybody would get plowed. But you know, you don't see as much of that anymore.
Yeah, with all of our hunts, we don't allow it. And after you harvest, after the hunt, if you want to have a beer or a drink or something like that,
sure,
have at it. But once you touch that, the gun's getting put away.
Of course, that's 100% done deal right there.
And just like driving a Harley is that when the kickstand's down.
It's down
for the evening, and then, you know,
do what you want.
Yeah.
And I've been on a lot of long trips lately in the past few years on Harleys and other bikes, and, you know, nobody drinks and rides that I ride with anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I'm just getting older.
Wiser.
Yeah, wiser, yeah.
Yeah, you can't tell. You always kind of be watching that person in the other lane coming at you, you know.
I just had
an incident down someplace that a guy came across the road and wiped out a whole string of senior motorcycle riders, and he wasn't drunk. He just lost control of his truck and smashed into him. So I'm always watching that people coming at me.
Not
last Thursday, but the Thursday before, we had 7 inches of snow right there on Gold Street, and I came downtown right here to Maxwell's, got a couple pizzas, and just drove back to the house. Of course, I have a four-wheel drive,
but
man, it's not me I worry about.
Right.
It's the other folks. And I saw people just ditch their car, and they didn't get home in time, and they just couldn't drive in that snow. And gosh dang, I don't know if City of Reading even has any snow plows, because I never saw one during that storm.
And even if they hit the main streets like Placer, they only hit it once, and then all the side streets.
Yeah.
And I have four-wheel driving. I know people that have all-wheel drive, and I tell you, an all-wheel drive is not a four-wheel drive.
No, they have street tires.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy the snow. You guys like the snow?
Fun.
I like the snow. It's different.
I didn't have a problem with it at all.
It's ingrained. It's ingrained into us.
Well, you know what? In Reading, I like it because we only get it once every 4 years,
that's what
5 years.
About.
Yeah. As opposed to living in Bemidji, Minnesota, where it's 40 below and they get 8 feet of snow every year.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I'd like that.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? Whenever it snowed when you were a kid, you got a snow day. I mean, so it's a day off of school. I mean, it's like a holiday.
Yeah.
We think about snow days here as holidays because we don't get it very often.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we used to get it at least once a year.
Yeah.
Well, we would take a snow day or two.
Well,
when I was growing
like
up there.
Six times this year, right?
Yeah.
Three substantial.
Yeah, when I was growing up,
we may get another one Friday.
I
can't believe it.
Yeah. No, we actually went out on the lake fishing on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It's gorgeous. I mean, there's a little bit of debris, but nothing to worry about. And, you know, the main channel caught some fish. You know, people haven't been doing well, but we caught some fish. And, boy, what a great day.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't been doing well on the lake.
They haven't.
I don't know what the reason for that is.
Well, it's because the water went from about 52 degrees to 48.
Right.
It could be a reason.
It puts a shock in them, huh?
Well, it just pushes them down. They sit down about 40 or 50 feet where the water's just a little bit warmer. Just hang out.
Yeah, you just got to find out the hangout spot.
Yeah, just hit them on the head enough to make them mad.
Okay, I'm here with I'm not even sure what that means.
I don't
Perry Crimmins.
I hope that's not some sort of weird code.
No, it's because you're putting your lures down there.
If you
hit them enough, they'll get angry enough to bite. Yeah, I got it.
thanks for painting that picture, Carl.
Well, thank you.
I don't like fish. So. I mean, I like to fish. I just don't like to eat fish.
You don't eat fish.
Smells fishy.
Okay, now here's my friend, my brother.
Yeah.
When we go, hey, you want to go down and, hey, it's crab night. No. Okay. How about, what if we can, you know, one of our friends had a birthday at, Red Lobster. What else do they have?
I don't eat fish. I don't like the smell of fish.
And then mushrooms.
Ugh.
You know, and he asked me, he goes,
well, I got the palate of about a 4 year old.
He goes over for dinner and he goes, are there mushrooms in this? And I go, well, why? And he goes, well, you know how I feel about mushrooms. And so I'll tease him a little bit. I said, no, there's no mushrooms on this. There's none in the meatloaf. There's none in any of this other stuff. There's no mushrooms. And you brought in one night that elk Wellington.
Wellington, yeah.
And there was mushrooms in it. But they were, they were ground up or something.
No, it was a sauce. It was a mustard sauce.
Mushroom sauce. So I brought home all of the elk Wellington, and you didn't.
No, that's okay.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, and we will be right back.
I had no idea. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Welcome back to Man Up with Carl Bott, Ted Leidy, and Perry Crumins. It's our regular Man Up show on Thursday night, but we pre-recorded this on Tuesday morning. It doesn't stop us, though, from sampling a very good bourbon. And what kind of bourbon is that there, amigo?
Parrish brought it. It's his birthday bourbon.
It's a Blanton's, so it's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
And believe it or not, it was just a birthday bourbon, and ran up to the store to grab a couple of refreshments for the folks that were over. And I have a really nice neighbor. I won't mention his name because then we'll have his driveway full of folks. But anyways, he invited us over for cocktails in his driveway on Friday. So, I went up to the store and they had this on sale. I'm not going to tell you what store because then you'll go buy all the bottles and I won't be able to get them.
I'm going there right after we're done. You already told me.
But I was always told if you see this bottle of Blanton's for less than $70, you better just buy everyone on the shelf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. You know, the thing about bourbon is, and, you know, Nate Hutt talks to me about this all the time, and Nate knows his bourbon for sure. The margin on bourbon is incredible, right? Because they know the trends, and they know how much people talk, and they know what's supposed to be hot and what's not. So they may buy a bottle of whatever it is for $24. And it may be trying to sell it for $29 or $32 for 5 years, and nothing goes on with it. Then all of a sudden, someone comes along, and they sample it, and they write up an article about it, and they make some great statements about it. Next thing you know, guys like you and I are looking for it. Now it's 64, 65, 70, 90, 110. I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, I have
got bottles for $3,000.
I'll show you tonight. I got my first issue of this whiskey magazine, and it talks about different bourbons and whiskeys. That's the whole magazine, and it's and they name some. Hey, look at these. These are coming up, and that could be something that, you know. Okay, you know, we can still get this at a reasonable price, but it's got a really high rating. So yeah. I'll show you that magazine.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you have these marketing geniuses. Right, and we all think we are one, and we do pretty well. Don't get me wrong, we do pretty well. But this Blanton's, so they have a really cool cork with a horse rider on it, and each cork has a different letter. So here's a marketing avenue where you need to have each cork that spells Blanton's. So
yeah.
That's 8 bottles you're selling right there.
Oh, it's smart, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I think he's riding the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yeah,
is that what's
absolutely.
Going on here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a roses. He's standing on roses.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool bottle.
So you'll find yourself on the shelf searching through bottles. to see.
Oh,
what
you can't. Yeah, you can't miss Blanton's though.
No. I mean, as far as the corked letter.
Oh,
what letters
yeah.
on the cork? You know, if you already have an O, you don't need another O. You know, you're looking for one of the other letters that spells Blanton's.
It reminds me of that other game.
But you
that,
can't get it
to
you by
play.
The bottle. Is that it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Reminds me of that other game that people play, but you know. The one on the French fries at the McDonald's where we're trying to get the Monopoly pieces. That's good marketing, too. Carl, you know that game?
Yeah, I've seen that. And you'll get them. You used to get them at Safeway. They used to have something that you could, you know, if you have this, you can win something. But I never played that game. Do you want to play this game? And I'm sure they kept them. If I was the cashier, I would have kept them because you can win something out of it.
I just wanted the French fries. I didn't care about that.
Yeah, well, I never played the game. I'd rip it off in case it said, go to the counter for $1 million.
Did you get them even with your kids' meals?
I can't
Which
recall.
Which he still gets by now. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about your business.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Which one?
Well, let's start with the NFI.
Okay.
Your business on teaching people how to use a gun safely.
Yep. So, Carl. You've been great lately teaching. You've been teaching a lot lately, so I want to thank you.
I know.
You for
I've
that.
Been kind of like, whoa, I'm down in Chico and back out last weekend and, you know, or the weekend before last.
I appreciate that.
Turtleneck and raincoat.
Oh, gosh. Believe it or not, Seth was out there with me, and what a great young man he is. The pop-ups were up,
yep.
So they could stand, you know, so nobody was going to get rained on. And the God's blessed us that day. We did not have any rain, even though we had plastic over the targets and everything else. There wasn't any really significant rain at all for the whole class. And
we have taught so many classes in the rain this year. I mean, and, really taught classes.
But you try and keep
the
them out of the rain, the shooters, because especially on your initials, that then they were just wet and miserable, and they're thinking about that instead of, you know, concentrating on the front sight.
Right.
Don't need any distractions.
No. They're not comfortable. They're not doing well.
Yeah. And so, you know, it just means extra work for them and us. But, no, that came out really good. But you've expanded your business tremendously.
Oh, yeah. So we just got back from the California CCW conference on Wednesday. That is the conference where all the mucky mucks in the state, all the agencies come in and pass around good ideas, and they talk about some of the subjects were PTSD, CCW holders with PTSD, other mental health issues, storage of a firearm in a vehicle, just new laws that are coming down. We had an hour long briefing on Senate Bill 2, which is getting ready to come about.
Now, tell people what Senate Bill 2 is and the impact it's going to have.
Senate Bill 2 is the California State Legislature's answer to the Bruin decision, which came down in June, which basically said it is a constitutional right to carry a firearm as long as you're qualified in every state. And so you will figure out a qualification process for your people and figure out who's qualified and who's not, and then you will issue them a permit. That's basically in a nutshell. I mean, it's a little more complicated. Obviously, it's a Supreme Court decision, but, of course, there are some states, New York, New Jersey, California, within 3 days, they had their own legislation drawn up, which made it so difficult to carry a firearm in California that they think nobody will want to, right? It's the same idea.
It covers every area.
Yeah, everything,
it's
including...
It's much more restrictive than it was before.
Including sidewalks around the area. Like, for instance, right now, if you're a firearm carrier, you've been trusted, you went to school, you've got the background checks, all that kind of stuff. You can carry in the city park, right? And there might be someone that's listening that says, oh, the city park, why would you carry in the city park? Because we're protectors, right?
Yeah.
And people get shot in city parks illegally all the time. So we're protectors. And so we carry firearms on us all the time in case we're needed to save someone's life or whatever. Well, the state of California set up a system, a scheme. That's why they got hammered to begin with, is their scheme, right? Their scheme of issuing permits to who they liked.
Right.
They've had sheriffs go to jail for this stuff, right? Of who they liked or who contributed the most to their campaign fund.
Mm-hmm.
So they can no longer do that. Everybody's on the same sheet of music. And so, but they concocted a scheme to make it so difficult in the state of California that they figured, well, nobody will go do it because it's so hard to figure out when you're legal and when you're illegal. There's so many different checkerboards that you got that you might pass through on your daily travels that you don't know where you can carry a gun and where you can't, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to make it that difficult.
And city parks is one of them.
Yeah, and I'm not paraphrasing. That's a real deal. I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
city parks, libraries, any athletic sporting facilities. Here's how difficult they decide to make it. If I want to let you in my business, which is, as you know, I have a gun shop on Lake Boulevard now. If I'm going to let you in, I must have a sign that says you can carry a gun on my business. I just can't let everybody in that I want. I've got to make a sign up, and I've got to be particular about who comes on my business with a firearm. Well, as we both know, that's a constitutional infringement right there, because it's my business. I can do what I want. I can say everybody drop their clothes on the sidewalk and come in naked or don't come in at all. That's a legal thing. It's my property. I can do it. And if I don't want
to,
I know.
I'm not going to your shop.
You never thought about that before, did you, Carl?
No,
but you can. It's your property. You can do whatever you want.
It's right here at the station. If you know, I have friends and acquaintances that I know are concealed carry, I've got to put a sign up according to this thing that says,
you can carry here.
You can carry, a firearm in this business.
Well, of course you can carry here. It's private property.
Yeah.
The government doesn't have anything to say about it. Right? Yeah. You have something to say about it, Carl. You could put up a sign that says nobody can carry here, and that's your right.
That's my right.
But the government cannot reach onto your property and say you must put up a sign for each and everything that you want or don't want.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's just another infringement, and it will get to the Supreme Court, and it will get hammered, of course. Thank goodness New York and New Jersey's laws, they're almost identical to California's laws. California didn't get theirs passed because they put an emergency clause into it, which meant it had to go into effect very soon after it passed, maybe a week.
And they had one senator that didn't do it.
Right.
A Democrat.
They had one that did not do it.
Yeah.
And so it didn't pass. Now everyone's mad at him or her. But New York and New Jersey passed, and that their laws, even though they only passed in the fall, are almost back to the Supreme Court. They've already been through the system, through the circuit courts, and they're on their way back to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So hopefully the Supreme Court will get tired of hearing it and watching these states try to concoct these schemes to infringe, and they will just hammer them wholeheartedly and say, look, okay, we're gonna tell you the rules unless you figure out some decent rules on your own. And I don't mind
what that will be is saying it's unconstitutional to do these things.
Sure.
And so now it opens up everything. And then I just saw where a federal judge – or a state court that put a
federal
or federal. Yeah. Is this the one about the
handgun roster?
Handgun roster. That was a federal judge.
That's
that
another
said,
scheme
that said you cannot put a handgun roster out there saying which handguns are acceptable and what aren't.
No,
so,
because they're acceptable. They've been through safety testing already. That's another scheme the California legislature put by us, is they decided they were going to have a roster, and this is one of the things that makes me most mad about this, is it's a lie. Handgun, the roster certified safe for sale, right? So it's a handgun roster certified safe for sale. So in other words, all other guns are not safe except for the ones we certify. And then they made the standards to get on the roster so ridiculous that we haven't had one on the roster, haven't put a gun on a roster in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 15 years.
And then the new one is for every new one that comes on, three have to come off?
Two or three, yeah.
Well,
another scheme.
And don't they have, if there's any change whatsoever to a rostered gun, it has to reapply?
Yeah, and they can't reapply.
No.
That's why you don't have any changes to these guns. So we're dealing with technology that
old
is
technology.
20 years old.
Yeah.
And the rest of the country gets this brand new technology that is even more safe. I think we'd all agree that a 71 Chevy with no seatbelts is less safe than a 2023 Chevy with seatbelts.
Everyone and
airbags
that, right?
And everything.
Yeah, all the
right.
Sensors.
Yeah. But that's not the point. The point is we're going to make that roster so small, or we're going to make the gun so old, nobody wants one. I mean, that's really the scheme. And so it went back to Judge Benitez, the first federal judge in the state, and he ruled it unconstitutional, but he gave him 14 days to appeal, so we can't do anything for 14 days. So we're going to sit for 14 days and see. They'll get it appealed, and it'll move up to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit will uphold it for California, of course, and then because, you know, political appointees, they're all just political appointees. And then it will move its way to the Supreme Court. just slowly but surely.
And then isn't that judge the same one that X'd out the high-capacity magazine?
Same ones. Yeah. Same judge.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that has not made it to the Supreme Court, but once you open up purchase for a week, we call it Freedom Week, that's April 29th, or March 29th through April 5th, 2019, now you've got all these magazines on the street that are standard capacity, and if you purchase them during Freedom Week, they're yours to use as you see fit at this time. So, you know, it just makes the law unenforceable, and that's problematic also.
And that's the other thing too, is when you make a law, it's unenforceable, and then, but it's still something else that can be tagged onto you.
Sure, it's how
just
the government
making it so hard that if I, you know, I've gone through all the training, I have the experience, and yet if I'm walking through this, you know, next to a city park, and for some reason I'm stopped,
yeah,
and they find that I'm carrying a concealed firearm, they can arrest me for that.
They do what they want to.
Yeah.
The government, it's the government picking the winners and losers. If you write a book, a book that's big enough that says you can, there's something in that book for everybody. They get to pick the winners and losers. And you do them a favor, they do you a favor. I mean, it's how corruption is built, right? Yep. It's how a corrupt system is really developed, is they've got something for everybody. And then you just try to remain a small target. You do not open your mouth, or they'll come and get you, because they got something for everyone in that book. That's how Mexico works, by the way. If you want to see how that works, go to Mexico.
You two have had plenty of experiences in Mexico, instead of being, including being held at gunpoint by narcos.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a real thing, especially just last month when they killed them two.
Four of them that went across the border. We're not sure why they went across. They said for medical procedures, and of course they're throwing all types of other stuff. But the idea is, though, still, they were shot up, kidnapped, and then rescued by a joint Mexican U.S. team that went in there, and then they turned the narco guy, the head of the narcotics cartel there, turned in five guys that had done it.
Gave up five guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be out. But there's no big deal. Yeah. It's a joke.
Gave up. Yeah.
And wrote a nice letter to the American people.
We're sorry.
About how they
operated on their own.
Compromised their own beliefs in the sanctity of life. Okay. I'm feeling that. I'm about to cry right now.
Yeah, the tears are starting to well up, you know, that the narcotics cartels care about people. You know, it's just, you know, oh, my God.
Tito, give me a tissue.
Okay.
Too soon?
Let's take a quick break so you can get yourself under control. And I'm going to come back and talk about your new gun store.
Okay.
All right.
Right on.
We'll be right back.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to Man Up with Ted Leidy, Perry Crimmins, and Carl Watt. It's Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. that we are on, but we are pre-recording this on Tuesday morning because we're all going to be at the Jake Banquet that's being held down in Cottonwood.
Cottonwood Community Center.
There you go.
21 12 to 15-year-old youth hunters in a turkey calling contest. Raffles, prizes.
Everybody walks out with something.
We highlight our landowners. All of our landowners come down. They're free of charge. They get in. We have a raffle for them. It's just really cool, man. Landowners, so, hunt leaders, volunteers. It's just a celebration of everything. Of
families.
The program.
Families are there. Coming in there.
It's a celebration of the program.
Yep.
So we were kind of bagging on California on the gun rights and
what?
Gun legislation. And here's something that we can actually give them, the state of California, a little hand up, because your program actually was to be axed at one time with legislation that says you cannot market to juniors for hunting or for guns, right?
Yeah, but California didn't do anything about that. They got sued.
Exactly. Exactly. So the choice was made that program's still in place, right?
Oh, right.
They tried to get rid of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were going to do it anyway. Just
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense. There's certain things that don't make any sense.
Right. Well, their idea is this. And so it always starts with good intentions, and then it just gets messed up as it goes along down the road because, you know, very few of those people have any leadership ability down there. So, the idea was children, you should not be marketing guns to children. That is true. That's a true thing. And I guess there were some gun shops in in the LA area or maybe a gun instruction company. I don't know, something. And it had its logo had a pacifier in its mouth. I've seen it.
You sure it wasn't one of those drug things?
Well, maybe it was. But anyway, I saw Gavin Newsom talking about it when he decided to pass this law. And it had a pacifier in its mouth. And it was a young-looking thing. It wasn't a human. Well, I guess it wasn't human, just a weird-looking human baby or something. Anyway, it had a pacifier in its mouth. So it was part of their logo. And he said, we can't have this. And kind of got it. I kind of agreed with him. I'm like, yeah, whoever would think about that wasn't thinking very well.
Yeah.
He said, no. So here's what we're going to do. At no time can you market to, can you teach, can you put a gun in their hand, can you do anything with minors that has to do with firearms? And, of course, we teach it. We must teach it because we're not going to go into the woods with a young man or woman who is not safe.
Yeah.
So they have to learn the safety piece of it, right? And so everybody went through the roof. They were talking about axing the program. And then thank goodness that, of course, they got sued and somehow got an injunction on it or something where now we can do it. But we still can't have, like, in my gun shop, we're going to talk about my gun shop next, right, Carl?
Yep.
In my gun shop, I can't have a child size anything or a small hat that says anything about firearms on it or that might bring a child to walk in there and buy it. I can't do that. So
weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did you know it's also, you know, also per business code on a gun shop, you cannot have an image of a person holding a handgun?
I think I may have heard of that.
Yeah. You cannot have an image of a person holding a handgun.
Wow. I think I've heard of that one. Let's talk about your gun shop. Are you open now?
11091 Rhyolite Drive.
Where is that? Yards. For people who are going, where is that?
Okay, so if you know where Shasta, if you know where Waterworks Park is, right across the road, right across Lake Boulevard from Waterworks Park is Shasta Lanes. That's the bowling alley. 100 yards east of that bowling alley, there's a road that goes up there off of Lake Boulevard called Rhyolite Drive. And we happen to know the landlord really well, and he gave us a great deal, and we love him, and he's a patriot, and he loves what we got going on. And we refurbed full. It's got four units right now. We take up three of them.
Mm-hmm.
We refurbished the two bottom floor units. We made one into a classroom, one into a small gun shop. Upstairs is going to be administrative offices, so we can do work upstairs without having to bother the classes or the gun shop. in storage for all the guns, because right now we've done, well, we did the NWTF banquet on the 11th of March. That was 101 guns that we brought in for that banquet. And so we're doing a lot of, you know, Ducks Unlimited and
sure,
and small banquets, Intermountain Cattle Women's Association and things like that. But, also we're building some semi-custom long-range shooters. We're big into buying stocks and action separate and then trying to build something that works for everybody, whether it be a short-barreled rifle, long-barreled rifle, whatever. Duck and turkey guns, pistols. We bought a whole bunch of Smith & Wesson Shield slides that are milled for optics, and we're selling those.
Okay.
As a package. Package deal comes the holster, case, pistol, Smith & Wesson Shield with a slide and an optic. I think they're $1,100, $1,150. We've got some colored ones also, blue and brown. The bronze
gold
shields are really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's going well. Our manager, Craig, is down there from 10 to 6, Wednesday through Sunday. We're going to be Tuesday through Sunday in about a month when Kevin Tedder comes on board for Tuesdays. And so we'll be Tuesday through Sunday, 6 days a week. We want to be open on Sundays because nobody's open on Sundays. So we want to be open on Sundays because a lot of people do a lot of shooting on Sundays. And they wake up in the morning and what would you boys like to do? Let's go shooting. Okay, well, where's the ammo? We don't have any ammo. Well, you know, so hopefully they'll come down on Sundays and hit us up.
Oh, something to take a look at. And the name of it?
Northern Firearms Incorporated.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm Northern Firearms Instruction. I got a partner, Steve Tumbleson, whose gun shop was seen there before, small little one. And so we decided we'd call it Northern Firearms Incorporated, just use the same brand and move forward, you know, so everyone knows what it is. And so it's working out well. It's, you know, we're making payroll and moving guns. That's what matters right now. Nobody's making any money off it, but I don't really care if it does or it doesn't, as long as I don't have to spend
now,
a lot
do you
time.
Have all the accessories?
Yeah, holsters and gun cleaning kits. And
optics.
Optics, yeah.
Okay.
Optics. We're really big. We've sold more pistol optics than anything. Because, you know, all I use is pistol optics now. I use a pistol optic on my carry gun, a pistol optic on my range gun. I think in 10 years you won't see a pistol with sights on it. I think they'll all be opticed.
We have to try that.
Well, let me tell you, once you try it, you can never go back. Because, you know, when you align sights on a target, that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
When you can X sight alignment out and just put something up, that's way faster.
Okay.
At least 50% faster when you throw that optic up. There's no sight alignment. It's a regular optic, like on a turkey gun or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
just put the dot on it.
Just put the dot on it and go. You know?
Okay.
No alignment. Sight alignment's tough, especially when you get old eyes. And I don't know about you guys, but I can barely see my front sight.
I can see mine.
Yeah, you got great eyes, though. You had cataract. What'd you have?
I had the cataract surgery.
Man.
It was just like,
and they put HD lenses in you?
No, just regular old
like a bionic eye?
Yeah, just whatever. Yeah, he said, what do you want to be for your long range sight? And I held my hand out like I was holding the gun. I said, well, I got to be able to see that front sight. Boom, he put that in there.
Wow.
It's been years.
Nuts.
Yeah, I know.
That's been a long time. And I've never seen you wear glasses since then. You've wore glasses every time.
I had to wear it because of, I'd had good vision, and then as you get older, but it was because of the cataracts. So if you got, you know, if you're wondering about your sight, go down and see an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, and you'll be amazed at the difference it makes. Hey, guys, we got to run.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. But,
a bummer.
As it is, Sue's going to have to take half the day to try and edit this down to whatever it's supposed to be. So,
thank you, Sue.
Sue, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
This was so much fun.
I know. I'm going to lobby for Man Up 5 nights a week. That'd be fun.
Okay. Perry Crimmins, how do they get a hold of Just for Hunting?
www.justforhunting.com or give me a call at 530-515-5682.
Okay, and Ted for Northern Firearms Instruction?
usgunpro.com, like always, 999-1822, call me.
And the gun shop?
229-0072, 10 to 6, Wednesday through Sunday.
There you go. And, of course, we're here Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, and once a month here for Man Up. Everybody have a great night, and God bless America. Mm.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.